Trump. So again, Trump has to be careful how he plays this game. Venezuela is not in a good position. The cards that they have are not very good. A large part of the country against Maduro. But if somebody tries to invade your country, even the people who don't particularly like the president, most likely going to try to defend their nation. Okay, and that's something else that, you know, people have to understand. And because of all the strife, both regionally, you know, within the United States and also in other countries, I don't think the United States really has the appetite for another war. This isn't 1991, the gung-ho era of, you know, post-Soviet, you know, or the Soviet collapse and post-Soviet global liberal world. It's a different world. You know, Colombia is all for it. You know, Brazil and their right-wing new president are all for it, but they're not going to lead the charge. They need the United States. And Venezuela does have well-trained armed forces, about 240,000-260,000 troops, so well-armed, well-trained by the Cubans and the Russians and the Chinese. So, you know, they know what they're doing. So going in there, it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be – because, again, the terrain is different than what America had to go through in Iraq back in 1991. We saw what happened in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. We saw what happened in Iraq. You know, we're seeing what happens globally when somebody tries to take you over. So America is not in the position to do that. There were hoping that Guaido would win and people would sweep Maduro, but that didn't happen. Okay, so Trump has to be smart. He has to realize his game is getting rid of the liberal banking financiers. That's his, you know, claim to fame, and that's his ticket to winning the 2020 elections.
What would be his next steps with China?
I think the United States, China, Russia, and India have to work together on the Belt and Road Initiative, okay? It's progress and development of society. That's what they have to do. That's what they have to find a way, because, again, if all you do is print money, there's no way out of this crisis. You have to create wealth, and that wealth has to be created globally by the global superpower, because our enemy is the same as been, you know, for the past 200 years. It's not Russia. It's not China. It's the British Empire.
Yep.
And we're seeing it right now. And if you understand that, we have to form an alliance, United States, China, India, and Russia working together, but not from a point of view of interest, because interest is something, you know, today we're friends and tomorrow we're not. Mm-hmm. Maduro can, you know, could testify to that. I mean, they had 10 years of the entire continent, except Colombia, being socialist. Now all these countries are right wing and they're all his enemies. So interest is again, it's money. It's short term. But if you look at values and you base the future, common future, on values, that's family. And values, family, you defend each other, you protect each other. You may not like each other all the time, but when push comes to shove, family works together. And that's what, you know, the great Orda of Genghis Khan was all about. That's what the Stalin and Mao Zedong's alliance was all about in the 1950s, based on values, not interest, but values. And we have to find common ground for all these great nations to work together against the parasitical British Empire.
Oh, I totally agree. If I know whenever we say we're putting our guy in, this is trouble, because we know what we do in these countries. So, and we've been doing it for so long. So then I was surprised to see Trump backing that. So to somebody like me,
you know, again, you have to remember that Trump is surrounded by traitors. Pompey is CIA.
Yes.
He's a traitor.
I agree.
Bolton is a traitor.
He's awful.
So he, because again, the problem is he has no team. I mean, he can bring like 10 of his own guys in, and, you know, they got rid of Bannon and they got rid of Flynn. These are the people who, you know, were backing
Flynn's a patriot.
Trump.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they got, and people say, well, you know, he can always get rid of them. You can't get rid of Washington's bureaucracy. These, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people have been there since 1944, three generations.
Yeah.
They've been weaned on this stuff. They're part of the liberal order, which is why they're leaking like crazy, which is why all that stuff is happening. And Putin has the same problem. I was with Putin in January 2017, and I explained to him a lot of the things that, you know, Trump talked to Putin about in Helsinki, which at the time he couldn't talk to him about because he just became president. You know, but the point is that Putin has been there since 1999 as president or prime minister. If he's there for another 20 years, or Trump is there for another 20 years, they're going to have the same problem until they get rid of the liberal banking financiers. Okay? And actually, if you really think about this, and I explained it on Hunter's show, and people were saying, no, this guy is, you know, this guy's a disinformation, because I said that Donald Trump was the continuation of Barack Obama's second term economic policy. Mm-hmm. And all the people say, no. Mm-hmm. And I said, sure. Do you remember this whole thing with Dominique Strauss-Kahn? The guy who was the president of general director of International Monetary Fund. Mm-hmm. You know, they caught him with a whore in, mm-hmm. in a New York hotel. And mm-hmm. Do you remember that episode?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. He was caught. Let's not call a whore. Let's call a woman of lower social standing. Okay. Well, anyway, okay. The whole thing was what was actually decided, because in 2008, after the collapse of Lehman Brothers, the global financiers, they realized that the system was done. And so they needed, because they already controlled a European emission center, Japanese, etc., the British, but they needed to get their hands on the United States dollar, which is controlled by the government. And so they had an agreement in place, you know, from the vantage point of Bank of International Settlement, which is Central Bank of Central Banks, and a lot of people within the Federal Reserve and the American bureaucracy, that they were going to give the control of the United States dollar to the global financiers. And Barack Obama, putting this guy on trial, because the whole thing was an invention. Mm-hmm. He didn't rape anyone. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the point is, he put this guy, very powerful representative of the global elite, because Dominique Strauss-Kahn, his last name is St. Clair. And if you read Da Vinci Code, if you saw the film, the St. Clairs are one of the oldest families whose roots go, you know, all the way back to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So he puts this guy on the stand, and needless to say, then he, you know, sends him home, ciao. But the point is, that was a message to global cartel. We're not giving you our control of our money. Then the next year, he gets rid, for the first time since Reaganomics in 81, of all the globalist members of his economic council from Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. In 2014, he stops quantitative easing. In 2016, he has Brexit and Donald Trump. That's the logic. Okay.
But
again, because people don't know anything, they said, oh, so this guy's saying that Trump and Obama, blah, blah, blah. No, mm-hmm. never said that. Okay.
You're
but the point
the
is,
picture.
What you're mm-hmm. seeing right now, because Obama was a Kabbalist. If you look at all the American presidents since Nixon, they're all controlled by the liberal crowd. Mm-hmm. Obama was a project of the Kabbalists from London. The Bushes, needless to say, are liberals. Donald Trump, okay, this wasn't really the place on this first interview to talk about this, but in the future I can explain that the elite, they don't play chess. Zbigniew Brzezinski, the great chessboard, it's all mm-hmm. lie.
Okay.
The elite play bridge, which is why it's a card game. Okay. And they decide and calculate based on bridge of global projects. It's not countries. It's global projects. Which is why some of the most important leaders in the world are great bridge players, from Margaret Thatcher.
So they're looking at it as regions,
You know. So and so Donald Trump, he is not like when you say Donald Trump equals the United States. No, Donald Trump equals Black International, and Black International, who is behind Black International? Black International is blood and soil, because Trump is half Scot, half German. Blood, because again, these are the old landowners, okay, mm-hmm. the old European land aristocracy. So behind Donald Trump's candidacy, you have the Rothschilds, you have European royalty, European aristocracy, you know, the Ottoman Empire, the Habsburgs, etc., 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 the Queen of England, and the Rothschilds. So mm-hmm. these are the, and the Vatican, these are the people behind Donald Trump. I'm not saying that Trump works for the Vatican, okay, because mm-hmm. the only part of the Vatican there is the Jesuits.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, up until 2008, this alternative group, they simply didn't have enough energy to push that candidate through, because the entire system was controlled by the liberal financiers. Only when the system began its collapse and they were weak enough could the alternative group push that candidate through. And that's why we told the American delegates at the Dartmouth Conference in Dayton, Ohio, which is a very important conference, which was put together by Americans and the Soviets back in the early 1960s, mm-hmm. that, you know, we told them in midterm, it was like the day of, the day after, and everybody was talking about the elections, the Republicans won. And we said, the next president is going to be someone like Trump. And yeah, like, I mean, there was like maybe 30 people sitting there mm-hmm. and they were all looking and all trying to understand what we were talking about. And so we explained to them that for the first time, it's not going to be along party lines. It's going to be transversal. Hmm. Okay. And it's a fight between two different economic, completely different models. And we were dead on. Absolutely dead on. Wow. Because again, it's Trump is not equals America. Today, America equals liberalism, yeah. Which is why you're seeing all this stuff going on. Because never in the history of the United States has a president had to go through or endure what Trump is going through.
Oh,
never in the history of America.
I agree.
Not even Nixon, not even the millionth part of what Trump is going through.
You were saying he was backed by the Rothschilds. And so has he turned on them then?
No. Well, again, it's a very complex game because they needed to push through, make sure that the liberals are out. Mm-hmm. In some things, they're working together. And other things they're not. But all this stuff, you know, that you're seeing China and the United States, mm-hmm. it's all like world, you know, wide wrestling federation between Hulk Hogan and, uh-huh. and Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yeah, it's a show. It's the show. I mean,
it's a show because, again, there's been a 42-year agreement between Deng Xiaoping, what started off as an agreement between Deng Xiaoping and Jimmy Carter. Mm. And the agreement was for these people to actually never, ever, ever have any kind of a military conflict. Mm. The economy is a different game. And Trump comes in and he plays the same game, which is why he's saying, let's divide this up. Okay, you go your way, we go our way. And he's doing the same thing. I'll give you another example. Do you remember this whole thing with Didi Pashka, Russian oligarch who is allegedly a good friend of Putin, mm-hmm. and his company, Rusal, the biggest aluminum company in the world?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, this whole thing that, you know, the American government is putting sanctions against this guy, it's all nonsense. Because what Trump is actually doing is helping Putin to nationalize it. Mm. Because Rusal is Deripaska, but Rusal is not owned by him. It's owned by a global financial concern. Behind them, who is that? The Rothschilds.
Mm.
Okay. This is who actually owns it. So by putting sanctions on the company and forcing Deripaska to reduce his own percentage to minimum, he's telling Putin nationalize Rusal, which is the most important aluminum company in the world, and make it your country's wealth. And that's what Trump is doing.
Okay,
but the liberals in Russia, who are, needless to say, control the entire edifice of the economy, mm-hmm. are doing everything they can to make sure that Putin doesn't do that.
Right.
But because Putin nationally is liberal, okay, and as far as his foreign policy is concerned, he's right conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And as a president of Russian Federation, he doesn't control what happens nationally. The economy is under the control of the prime minister, Medvedev, and the Medvedev is right in bed with the liberal banking financiers. Okay. Which is why 30% of Russia is starving to death, mm-hmm. which is why, you know, our growth is minus 2.5% annually for the past 5 years, which is about, you know, 20%, and which is why our inflation is about 20%, which is why between now and 2030, our population is going to go from 140 to 122 million.
Wow.
In other words, we're going to lose the same number of people in the next 10 years as we've lost fighting World War II. Okay. The same thing is happening in the United States. If you look at the demographics. Again, that's why we got to get rid of the liberal. But people separated between the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, Putin did this and he's a bad guy because he said that and Trump and he's got him under the control. It's utter
it's
nonsense.
Theater. It's
and
theater.
We see globally.
It's like North Korea.
And we
got
to break
North
through
Korea
this
theater.
Dialect.
And your 1 minute take on North Korea. Say
well,
about North Korea for 1 minute.
Again, North Korea, you have to remember that North Korea has the same kind of thinking, the only country in the world that has the same kind of thinking as we do.
Mm.
Three-partita symmetrical. You know, with the element of mysticism mixed in. In other words, mm-hmm. we understand them very, very well.
Right.
So you have Western culture, which is abstract thinking. You have Chinese concrete symbolic and ours, three-partita symmetrical. So the Koreas, what you're seeing right now, is the new economic union being born as we speak. It's Russia, China, Japan, the two Koreas, they're going to join forces and become one Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the North is going to take over the South, but not militarily. It's just going to go, you know, the North has
region.
The military and the South has the technology,
mm-hmm.
and Mongolia. So these five countries and the entire region, that it's going to be called Northeast Economic Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
It has about 40% of world's natural resources, including water, the most important resource, which is, you know, a Lake Baikal. Okay. And that's something that the liberal banking establishment is very concerned about, which is why everybody is right now focusing on the Putin-Abe negotiations for the islands, okay?
Mm.
Because, they, you know, since when did the global media saying, you know, to Putin, don't give these islands to the, you know, to the Japanese? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be they supporting Japan against Russia?
Right.
But the reason is they understand that if these two countries can actually have an agreement, Okay, Russia has no intentions of giving them the islands. But the point is, reaching an agreement and closing that chapter gives them the right to actually move forward with this union, which is going to be based on natural wealth, meaning gold. Okay, and that's why they were looking for way back when for the, you know, for the remains of Tsar Nicholas II, because Russia's czars, their gold is in London in the banks. Okay? And they can't give it back to Russia until there's, you know, somebody who is, you know, can physically claim to be the descendant. That's one part. The second part, the Arahito gold, which was again stolen by the Japanese from Southeast Asia, and that's where is it? You know, the everybody saying it's in the Philippines and Malaysia. No, it's actually in the island of Iturup, one of the islands owned by the Russians as part of the post-World War agreement with the Japanese. So, and the third element, again, gold. You know, what happened to the Soviet Communist Party gold, which was stolen back in 1991? Mm-hmm. That's going to have to be returned as well. So all that stuff, which is actually being worked behind the scenes, is part of this new union between these five countries as this economic northeast economic, I can't remember the actual name of this new union, but it's a very big change to how the world is going to be run in the near future.
Is that why Trump did
North America?
Yes, thank you. Because we look at it as most people listening to this show would look at it as such an assault on our sovereignty to join, you know, to make this more region. But my question is, are regions? Are those purely for survival now because of the way that they look
at it?
Absolutely.
You got it. You got it. Which is why, again, the process is we went from global 1.0, which was Westphalia 1648 to about late 1960s of the 20th century, countries, constitutions, borders, currencies, et cetera, et cetera. Then it became global 2.0, which they agreed to at the Bilderberg Conference in Mont-Tremblant on the outskirts of Montreal in 68 to create One World Company Limited Corporation that have more power than government, such as Goldman Sachs, etc. And now we're in the post-industrial world of networking, which, you know, which has nothing to do with oil and gas. It's the energy of knowledge, which is actually what the post-industrial is all about. Global 3.0, and that means regionalizing, because again, you cannot make this work because it's based on a model which is now absolutely outdated. And so regionalizing, to regionalize an economy, which is what BRICS was all about.
Yes.
Okay, you need a minimum population base. And that minimum population base has to be between 300 and 500 million people. And so, again, I talk about this in my book. The regions, for example, they've been talking about this, we have in Russia, since shortly after 9/11. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one region would be Canada, United States, parts of Mexico, Australia, New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that would be like a dollar model, independent region. Rest of Mexico and Latin America, that'll be like a peso, whatever region. Europe, Paris, Berlin axis with Africa's natural resources, part of the French colonies, former French colonies. The Europe, then China will be a separate region. India will be a separate region. Russia will be divided into Western Russia, would join, you know, Iran, Turkey, former Soviet Turkic-speaking republics, the Balkans and Syria. And then, you know, the Far East is going to join the two Koreas and Japan. And that leaves you the British Empire. Mm-hmm. Okay. And their plan, as I said to you in the interview, was to merge with the Arab world, you know, the Sunnis and Shiites. And the plan was for that to work was, you know, to get rid of all the old leaders and merge these in a union. But how do you merge two groups, the Sunnis and the Shiites, who hate each other? You got to give them something in return.
Right.
And that something was to be head of Israel on the platter. Because if you remember way back in 2012, Henry Kissinger said this in an interview with New York Post, Israel in 10 years is going to disappear. Jacob Rothschild, somebody who's well-informed, also said the same thing. Okay, now how is Israel going to disappear? Is somebody going to make it disappear? No, the plan was for the British Empire to work with the Arab countries, make Israel disappear. How would that work? That was all arranged with Hillary Clinton becoming president of the United States. She was all for it, except she lost. And Trump is not up to it.
How did he get in?
Trump got in because, again, if I knew back in 2014 that he was going to win, he was going to win. You don't vote in a presidential election. You just, you know, just pretend you vote.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But the point is that, and that, so Trump won. And so the British Empire, because they needed their own regional bloc, because, again, after Brexit, they had no market. And so the idea was, you get rid of Israel and you have all of North Africa and all the Arab world as their market. That didn't work out. So then they came up with Plan B, and I explained it in my book. Plan B was president of France, Macron. And who's Macron? Macron is somebody who's worked for many, many years for the Rothschilds. Rothschilds worked for the British Empire. Mm-hmm. Who does Macron work for? He works for the British Empire. I even show a parallel that Macron is a carbon copy of Napoleon the Third. And I explain it in my book. And nobody, like, people saying, what? You know?
I bet.
And it's like, a few months ago, like, I'm beginning to see it in the European media, they're talking of Macron as the new Napoleon. I said it two years ago. Because I know history and I explain how it works. Because what's the plan? What was Napoleon the Third? The idea is, you know, endless war, get protection from England. So the idea was using Macron to push Germany, what's Germany, National Socialism, into the hands of what? Another National Socialist country, which is China. Because that's what China is. Okay? It's National Socialism. Or socialism with, you know, specific or specificity of China. Which is what? The union of old families or clans separated by colors, you know, joined around the throne of the forefathers. That's what National Socialism is, Chinese National Socialism. Okay. And so that was the plan right now. And we're seeing how that works. But it globally, you know, it's all a mess. But the problem is regionalization is what they're going for. And that's why in California, somebody wants to separate, you know, Baja California, Mexican part, you know, merge it with California and create a new, you know, state of nation state of California.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
what I mean?
But they're doing it globally. They're doing it in Catalonia, in the Basque region of Spain, in Lombardia. That's the, you know, northern region where Milan is. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the same thing in there's 64 independent movements across Europe.
Jeez.
Just to give you an idea. But again, you see this if you're looking at it from a vantage point of conceptual intelligence.
Yep, I agree.
Because if you're trying to understand it, you know, on the ground, you know, boots on the ground, see what happens, you know, what the guy's doing in, you know, in the house in front of you, you can't possibly understand it.
I'm going to add this on this podcast that I just did, this extra podcast for Daniel Eschelin. But one of the questions you're probably going to leave that podcast with is, well, who is behind the liberal financiers? What belongs to what group? Who is backing who? And this is kind of interesting. I'm going to add this sort of postscript, an interview with Alex Jones that he did. It's about 3 minutes where he describes both groups.
David Rockefeller, the omnibudsman of the globalist, the founder of Bilderberg. I know you said 4 or 5 years ago he wasn't really running things anymore. 101 dies 2 weeks ago. Another bellwether of this. Talk about David Rockefeller, and then who from your research do you think is the leader of the New World Order, or are they still contending?
Alex, I think it's very important also to understand that when you're talking about these elitist circles, who's actually running the system? Donald Trump, and I'm going to get to Rockefeller in a second, represents, you know, the latest and the most desperate attempt by one part of the world's elitist circles to survive this economic Armageddon that is upon us. Trump versus Clinton was the fight between the representatives of the two of the world's supranational power structures, the Rothschilds behind Trump against the Rockefellers behind the Clinton. That said, neither the Rockefeller family nor the Rothschild family represent true power above them. You know, above the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, we have the Astors, the Lodges, the Flemings, the Grosvenors, the Mathesons, the Keswicks, whose fortunes are measured and counted in trillions of dollars. Trump represents a change in the paradigm of society as we have never seen in the history of humanity. The way things stand right now, Alex, capitalism is dead because capitalism needs perpetual markets in the way of expansion. And the elitist circles have a problem. They urgently need to find a system that could replace the no longer functioning capitalist system. And the arrival of Donald Trump in the White House is the first step towards a new world. Not a new world order, but rather a new world struggling to be born, unsure of its rules.
So you're saying Rothschilds are backing Trump versus the eugenics-based Rockefellers?
Exactly. If you kind of look at the people behind...
I got told that my CIA sources 3 years ago, they said, oh, you're bashing the Rothschilds. Watch what they're about to do. They're going to try to actually give wealth back to the people, not because they're even good. They don't want a total worldwide bloodbath.
It's just that this time, their interests coincide with our interests. Because again, behind Clinton, you have the Rockefellers, the transnational bankers, which is the World Company Limited, the globalist, non-American, you know, or American power elite circles, George Soros, Hollywood, etc., against the people.
So are you saying this is a Rockefeller elite trying to bring down Trump?
Well, the people above Rockefeller level. And then the people are backing Donald Trump are the non-American financier circles, centered in the city of London, Hong Kong, world center for money laundering, drugs, intelligence, and British control, leftover elite circles of the British Empire, the Rothschilds, European elite represented by the old European aristocracy, such as the houses of Sage Coburg, Austro-Hungarian aristocracy, and also Ottoman nobility, as well as the Venetian black nobility. And then on a smaller scale, you have the intelligence agencies, so on and so forth. But again, these are big groups of people, very powerful individuals historically.
And but is it fair to say most U.S. intelligence, from what I've researched, is for Trump?
Most U.S. intelligence, except for the DEA, NSA, and the CIA.
All right. Well, it's a crazy time to be alive, Daniel. We got 50 seconds left. What else do you want to add?
I think, again, be vigilant, be intelligent. Don't follow the propaganda techniques. Analyze and also ask the right questions. Why is this being done? Who's going to win and who's going to benefit when all is said and done?